first class on a flight from New York to Los Angeles. Kind of makes
welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Tuesday morning. Text line, you would be in touch with me, your show host, 251-343-0106. Still to come about a half hour from now, our senior United States Senator Tommy Tuberville going to call in. And then in that 11 o'clock hour, John Wall, chairman of the Alabama Republican Party. But joining us now on the line, always a pleasure, he is the current congressman for the 2nd Congressional District, but the congressman-elect now for the 1st Congressional District, Barry Moore, is on with us. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Jeff, I am doing fine. Good morning to you, sir. Good morning.
Thanks for making time for us. Always good to talk to you. Well, we'll kick it off here. I mean, it feels like the pieces are coming together that you and I are talking offline that the leadership vacuum is starting to be filled. I mean, it does seem like things are kind of settling down and getting to normal for now. Now, I don't know what lies ahead, but the waters seem to be calming as far as federal government goes.
Yeah, I certainly think that the leadership vacuum, if you see Trump on the world stage, it appears that the other leaders around the globe, are migrating to meet with him and to talk with him and to plan for the future. And so that vacuum that we've had, I think even with Biden and supposedly in the White House, but I don't know who was running the country, there was just nothing there. And I think everybody feels the world's a safer place now. And so, and Trump is a strong leader. He has an ability to negotiate, but in a way that I think people trust that, especially foreign leaders. And so, that vacuum's being filled. And one thing I will say is not normal, Jeff. It's normal for presidents to appoint people and to nominate people for positions in their administration and in their cabinet. But the thing that I found really unique about Trump is it's a little unsettling for the Republicans and the Democrats, but he's bringing outsiders in. And I think that bodes well for the mandate that he got in this last election.
Yeah. And, and it feels different this time, Congressman. In 2016 and going into 2017, it seemed like I don't want to say it was a victory lap or anything, but this time, I mean, he did even his demeanor on Sunday on Meet the Press seemed a lot more serious, a lot more less emotional or whatever you want to call it. And it seems like this time he's coming, he's going to come a lot. He learned his lesson from last time, and heading toward January 20th, it's going to be a lot different this time.
Yeah, it's been 8 years, my friend, and he's had time. He came in 2017, and I think he trusted the system. He thought, the government's got some issues, but we can fix it by using people within the system to fix it. But the problem is the system was so broken, and many of the people in the system didn't really want to fix it. They liked their positions. They liked their power. And so I think he made a lot of mistakes in the sense of people he put into positions to lead in his cabinet, hoping they would carry out his mandate rather than fight for a personal agenda. And I think with Trump's new people, it seems that he has a different approach. He's had 4 years of being drugged through the mud. I think in some ways that's humbled him, but he's realized that the American people are tired of business as usual, and we don't have a lot of time. Him winning the election is the beginning to me. I mean, all that was a starting point. I think that's one of the things that some of our friends have noticed is this is a starting line. And we've got 4 years that we have got a lot of things that are broken in this country. It didn't get this way overnight, but we don't have a lot of time to fix it. And I think he realizes he better bring some people with outside, influence, not swamp creatures, people who are willing to come in and make the tough choices and make the changes that need to be made to truly give the government back to the American people. So, yeah, it's a little different this time, Jeff. He has a mandate, and he's got 4 years to get it done.
Let's talk about your chamber, some of the House of Representatives. I guess the first question I have, and we haven't heard a lot about it, Congressman, but what do you think how does the Freedom Caucus look, and how do you think it's going to play in this Congress? Like I said, we haven't talked a whole lot about it, but what do your numbers look like? How do you feel about the new Congress?
So I think the numbers are still pretty good. I think for us, we've got new leadership in the House Freedom Caucus. Andy Harris has recently been nominated and elected as the new leader. And the one thing I like about Andy, Jeff, is he knows how to work with people. Within our own party, sometimes we're more conservative than others, but he's not going to – I think he has an opportunity to get the House Freedom Caucus more involved in a way that's not so confrontational with the speaker. And so Andy's a super leader. I think he's going to do a great job. He has already made a difference. I feel it in the room when we have our meetings that he's picking the right fights, the ones that we can win. And for us as conservatives, I mean, look, I mean, there's California Republicans that don't have a district like I have, you know, that have to vote for some things probably that I would never go along with. Maybe he would agree with some things that I wouldn't agree with. But the House Freedom Caucus, we need to be at the table. And I think Andy has an ability to get us at the table and to negotiate. He's one of the cardinals in appropriations. So he's been in this thing a long time, but he's a conservative. But he also understands the process of negotiating. And if we want, it can't be an all or none sometimes with the House Freedom Caucus. We need to be at the table. We need to have an opportunity to make some changes and allow the speaker to give him some landing room sometimes to work with some of those guys that maybe, you know, are not as in the conservative district as I am. And so I feel good about where HFC is. I feel good about our leadership, and I think it's going to bode well. And I think most of our leadership now are Trump people. They agree with Trump. Trump trusts them. And in the past, I think Trump trusted a lot of our leadership. And so, I mean, obviously, Mark Meadows was his chief of staff, Mick Mulvaney. Those guys all came from HFC. He's really close to Jim Jordan. And so we have an opportunity, I think, to the HFC to have an impact and hold the line when the president needs us to.
Now, you think you'll be able to keep some of these committee spots like Jordan? And I mean, do you expect any changes there, or do you think things will kind of stay the way they are?
I think it's probably going to hold. I think the people we have on rules in House Freedom Caucus, obviously Jim Jordan is chair of Judiciary. I think you'll probably see similar numbers as far as where HFC is in leadership, that sort of thing. I don't see a big change there. Mike Johnson's a great guy. He's on Judiciary with me. I think that he respects the House Freedom Caucus. He's met with us on a number of occasions. And so I think that the chances are we'll hold. We may gain a little ground, but for sure we'll hold what we got right now.
What does your situation look like as far as committees go? Do you anticipate kind of the similar sort of circumstances that you were in this last Congress?
Yeah, I think I'm going to try to stay with Judiciary. Jim Jordan has asked me to do that, and that's been a committee that it was interesting because most of the time in the last 4 years, at least the 2 years I was on Judiciary, the last two of this cycle, it was questioning the DOJ, the weaponization, you know, Christopher Wray, the FBI, things like that, things that were concerning to the people in my district when I went and did my town halls in August of 2021. The number one issue was weaponization of government. So I felt like I needed to be on Judiciary to ask the hard questions, to be in the room. And so that has been something I think I'll want to continue to do now to help resolve some of the things we're going to continue to uncover now that we have a Trump White House. Hopefully we'll have a cash tail leading in agencies and Pam Bondi that we can go in and actually investigate and get to the bottom of some of this information where the government was slow walking and redacting a lot of documents. They won't be doing that now. We have actually people who are going to be working with us to clean up corruption. So certainly want to stay on Judiciary. And then I'm going to stay with the Ag Committee because we have such a large farm contingency across the state of Alabama, but certainly in District 1. And we're still working on that farm bill. And so, we were hoping to get it done this past year, and we did, or this year, I should say. Didn't quite get there. And so I want to stick that out. I want to make sure that we've got a good farm bill. And so I'm going to continue to serve on that committee for the foreseeable future.
Let's talk about if you remain on Judiciary, some of this lawfare, and this goes to all levels. I mean, I would assume this would fall under Judiciary, but some of the things that went on with the Department of Justice or what needs to go on with the Department of Justice, I mean, what do you anticipate there? And do you anticipate this Justice Department and even Congress and Republicans trying to prevent the mistakes of the past from happening again?
Yeah, I think we need to understand, and I think that the American people need to understand, and I've said this, I don't think that the left's going to go away quietly. I don't think the swamp's going to drain itself. And I think that it's going to be a painful process, but I think if the American people will trust us and if we will deliver, the country will be better off for it, man. But you got you're talking about the Democratic Party and Jamie Raskin, who was already drafting articles of impeachment if Kamala won the president. I mean, if Trump won and they kept the majority in the House, they were going to impeach Trump again. And so to think that, oh, they're here to play nice, yeah, they'll come out. Chuck Schumer and the guys come out. Well, we want to work together. Hakeem Jeffries, they all want to work together now. But those are the people that were in power that shut people down, shut worship centers down with COVID. They violated liberty. They went after their political opponents. They put people in jail for walking into the Capitol. These are not the kind of people that you go, oh, yeah, let's everybody sing Kumbaya now because you don't have power. When they've got power, they're dangerous. And when they weaponize systems against the American citizens and against political opponents, now is the time. We have to hold that group accountable. There's a lot of tough road to hoe for us, but we better do it now. Like I said, we've got 4 years. We've got a president who's willing to bring outsiders in to help us clean the mess up. And so the DOJ, the FBI, there's a number of law enforcement agencies, a number of things, a number of just big, big government agencies that need to be vetted, and they need to be cleaned out, and they need to be returned to the American people, and they need to answer to the American people. I think Vivek and Elon Musk with Doge will have a great opportunity to actually bring outside thoughts and to work on doing away with the fourth branch of government, if you will.
Joined by Congressman Barry Moore here on the program. And you know, we were talking about this offline as well, the cabinet appointments, Trump so far. I mean, the one surprise probably was Matt Gaetz. And there's always, Congressman, there's always one that kind of falls through the cracks. That's a, you know, historically, that's every president loses one. But now you look at it, and I mean, RFK, Tulsi Gabbard, Pam Bondi, I mean, it Pete Hegseth, it looks to me like that, I won't say it's a done deal, but it looks a lot better than it did a week ago.
Yeah, for sure. I think Matt Gaetz was kind of an outlier, and I think Matt's biggest problem was a lot of the political enemies he made on the Hill. Personal kind of things when he was here. But Pete doesn't bring that to the table. Pam doesn't bring that to the table. Cash doesn't bring that to the table. So you've got a lot of outsiders now. And I think that if you've noticed, even Joni Ernst, who sat down with Pete and is going to, I think, support him, I think a lot of the pushback, and not only that, I think the Senate needs to realize that they have a majority because of the man in the White House. The least they can do is nominate his appointee and then let them do their job. And so I think they're catching it. They're catching a lot of heat for holding up these appointees, and so hopefully we'll see John Thune and those guys get on board, and we'll get every single one of President Trump's nominees in. That's the hope. That's I'm cautiously optimistic, Jeff, that that's what's going to happen, and we can get to work in January to start riding the ship, if you will.
Well, I mean, let's talk about January. What does that look like? What do you guys do first? Where do you start? The first 100 days are like the most important in a new president's administration. And it felt like in 2017, that opportunity, and most of it was Paul Ryan, and I think a lot of it was Mitch McConnell, it felt squandered. How do you stop that? How do you keep that from happening again?
Well, again, I think it goes back to Trump's a very smart man, and he learns really, really fast. And I think the mistakes that he made in 17, as we're sworn in to the 120th and then, to the 119th, I think that he will be looking to us to do our part, but I think he'll also bring the right people. And so I think that that first 100 days is so vitally important, but we're already seeing some things that Trump is doing. Certainly just meeting with world leaders and starting to put people in positions, I think, that, like we talked about, his appointees, that truly, truly can make a difference in this system and go outside. And look, it's unconventional appointees and nominees a lot of times that I think he's bringing. And I think there's a reason for that, because he realizes he tried to trust Paul Ryan. He tried to go down that road of, yeah, we'll just trust Republican leadership. And honestly, even Mitch McConnell and some of those people just, you know, they talked a good game, but they never delivered for him. And so I hope in the first 100 days we get to move on his agenda. I'd love to see us reinstate the Trump tax cut. And I think we need to try to restore some sort of semblance of peace around the world. he certainly needs to meet and try to get Russia and Ukraine to the table. I think he needs to send a pretty strong message to Iran that we're going to stand with Israel. And so there's some things that he can do. But I tell you, I called a friend of mine in Florida, Jeff, just the other day. And he said, man, he said, just since Trump has won, there's a different aura around the country. And certainly in this part of the world that I live in, he said, people are just optimistic. And I think that'll go a long way in a sense that people just trust his leadership. We've had him for 4 years. Life was good when he was here the first time. He's learned some things. He's got a great VP. He's on the high of the House majority this time and the Senate. But I think with different leadership and people who are willing to work with him.
Carson, we got to leave it there. We're out of time, but we always appreciate you coming on. Let's talk again soon.
All right, Jeff. Thank you, man. Y'all have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon.
Congressman Barry Moore there. We got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. With the Memphis Blues again.